event for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We're going to discuss this past week's race at Chicago and hear from the winner, Martin Truex Jr. Grant Lynch, president of Talladega Super Speedway, will join us around 5:30. Later in the show, we'll discuss the upcoming race at New Hampshire. And as always, power rankings, picks to win. We got all that and more on Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left, Mr. Jason Hildebrand. Across the table, it's the mug, ugly mug.
I'm a little angry.
Of Scott Webb. Why are you angry?
Well, hey, just got a lot of, I'm just angry. Got some anger on me, man.
No, just built up, right?
Got some built up, yeah.
You shouldn't.
We'll make sure we can hear Jason here.
I know we can hear me because
I heard you loud and clear.
Yeah, you can't help but hear him.
I saw you jump. So, listen, I know who is upset along with you, and that's Brad Keselowski. If you saw a little bit of the Twitter storm that started last Tuesday,
right? You know, I like Keselowski. I like that he speaks his mind, but sometimes you got to be smarter than that. You can't just come out there and say, "Hey, they must be cheating because they're running faster than everybody." And you got to be smarter. I mean, there's ways to say that exact same thing and not say that exact same thing.
I mean, he's been beating that dead horse for
4 weeks,
right? Maybe?
What was anybody complaining at the beginning of the year when the Fords were rocket ships and the Toyotas were struggling?
You know, either him or Logano's on the pole every week.
It's okay then. See, that's him and Bush. You know, they're front runners when things are not going their way, you get into wine mode.
Are you talking about Kyle Busch?
I am talking about Kyle Busch. Captain Wine himself. Now, he had a great response to Keselowski, which for those of you, we can't say that on the air, but you can go to Twitter and take a look at it. But he wasn't real happy with that response.
But you know, this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. I mean, I remember back in the 80s, you had, you know, the big Chevrolet Monte Carlo SS's with the flat window in the back, and then Chevrolet, you know, the drivers griped how they didn't have the good aerodynamics in comparison to the Fords, and what's NASCAR do? They put the big slope back window on there, and then Ford starts griping, and they make a change to Ford. So it's always kind of went that way, but, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know what else they can do now. It's not like you can – every car is so close, there's nothing you can change.
Listen, they're running the exact same car. I mean, they're all going through the same template. So it's nothing aerodynamically. They've just found something in the motor and the setup that is just a little faster. And, you know, like we see ebbs and flow in this sport all the time. And at some point we'll see it start to trend back the other way. But to just blatantly come out, you know, you can make a joke about it, say something about it, but just to kind of get on Twitter and start whining about it, that's kind of weakish.
Well, the one thing I did
real
is,
weak.
Yeah, it got into Kyle Busch's head in a bad way for other drivers.
Maybe next thing you know, Keselowski will be creating shadow Keselowski accounts and agreeing with himself like Kevin Durant did this week. So.
Wow. All right, so that was your basketball mention brought to you by – I'm just kidding. So Kyle Busch did get the pole after going through the Twitter thing with Brad Keselowski. Looked like he was going to dominate the race. And, you know, Scott, when you make those pit changes or pit crew changes – to try to make yourself better for the chase, sometimes that can come back and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, when we start seeing these, I guess for lack of a better term, all-star pit crews, you know, where they kind of put together, you know, the best of the best and try to do, you know, especially at the beginning of the chase, you know, you may start to see it pay off on down the road, but you got to get there first. You know, you can't have mistakes on pit road, you know, and it seems like that's kind of been the 18s, all year long, where they've had really fast race cars, and then they do something, whether it's him speeding or, you know, troubles on pit road. It just seems like they kind of get in their own way. They should have 3-4 more wins this year, and you know, that's on them. They've got to figure out a way to iron that out if they want to continue to move forward. I think they're going to be safe for this next round, but when it gets into that final eight cars, You know, that's the best of the best. That's the top eight cars in the sport. You're gonna have to perform week in and week out, and they have got to find a way to eliminate those mistakes.
I tell you, I was concerned last week. You know, we were in here and we actually brought that point up with him getting Daniel Suarez's crew over there when you know they haven't worked together all year, and how's that going to work out? And we saw it backfire.
Yeah, and you see, I mean, Suarez has been about a 14th to 19th place car each week. So the pressure's a little different on those crew members in comparison to having somebody up front sure. where you got to get it out. So I think that made a big difference. Another driver that had a good run, which we found out might have been caused by something, but was Chase Elliott. You want to see that first race, Jason, when the cream starts rising to the top of this playoff deal, and Chase gets up there and does well. Later we found out he cheated, and now he loses his crew chief for a week.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. I mean, especially when you're caught on camera and, you know, I was reading something about Pockrass. It's like, you know, it is a big deal when other, you know, teams are sending this stuff in to NASCAR, you know. I mean, yeah, it's a big deal.
So it's like
it helped a lot.
Right.
They were saying, does it really help that much? He said, if all these other teams are sending this in,
it must have made a difference. Obviously, then we haven't even talked about the 15 ownership points and driver points that he lost. That put him from fourth or fifth in the standings down to eighth on the cutoff line right now. So now he can't afford to have any more bad races. You know, so it is a big deal. You know, whether or not it looks like, I'm not going to accuse anybody, but it looked like they knew what they were doing and trying to figure out a way to make that car go faster. Obviously they did, because he was one of the fastest cars there, but they took a chance and they got caught and they got busted for it. Now he's going to have to perform the next 2 weeks at two pretty tough tracks.
You should get no points for the finish.
I don't disagree with that. You want to get cheating out of the sport?
You get
hammer
nothing.
Those guys.
You get nothing.
Hammer the guys and then see what happens. And that'll take care of itself, because you lose 60 points in a weekend.
And I'll tell you, there are drivers out there that, you know, are in agreement with that. You know, I've seen some vocal on Twitter that says, hey, you get no points at all. You know, it's like you finished nowhere. You're dead last. You got nothing. And there's a lot of drivers that are in favor of that.
I mean, it just seems like if you are cheating, but you know, here's the deal. So you
cheat. All right, if I'm in baseball and I was in the little league, okay, you play an illegal player, what happens?
You're done. You give up the game.
Exactly.
Right, but okay, so
you
let's
take
say
an L.
And you're in little league
playing
and
under
you,
protest today.
You
never worked out.
You're at second base and you steal a sign from the catcher and relay it to your batter. Should the game be, you know, called from that?
No.
Okay. Still cheating, but
no, it's not. I mean, it's part of it.
It's cheating.
Stealing signs is not cheating.
Okay. So, but if you have a piece of tape that you pull off in comparison to, you know, they used to sit down there and pull out those side skirts, mm-hmm. you know, on purpose or whatever, and they really, you know, didn't take anything away from them at that point either. So if there's a major, you know, violation, or if there's a minor violation, do you say you punish one different than the other?
I think you have to grade it differently. I mean, I really do. I mean, like lug nuts? No. I mean,
yeah. If you're missing lug nuts, I mean, I think the penalty is sufficient for what it is. If you're blatantly trying to improve your race car to help it go faster, and you're making structural changes after it goes through inspection, mm-hmm. You know, those are pretty severe penalties. And the penalty they got was severe. 15 points, sure. That's a big deal. You know, if they would have found it during the race, maybe they could have made him come to pit road and take it off. Maybe that would have been about where he finished. I don't know how they, but you know, obviously that gray area has always been, NASCAR always toes the line. I don't have any problem with them toeing the line. It's when you find somebody that's doing something that is obvious that they're trying to circumvent the rules. You know, then let's hammer some people, and it'll help keep them on the right side of the gray area.
Absolutely. One guy who took a while to get through tech on Sunday before he got out to the grid was Martin Truex Jr. And I guess, you know, they got through and were clean and didn't do anything on the way to pit road, but it sure looked like that they were heads and tails faster than everybody else out there. What are they doing? That's, I guess, and we've asked this question and talked about it. I don't know if we know the answer, but how can you be that much faster as a single car team in Denver, Colorado, single car, double car, whatever? Your two cars, you're out in Colorado. How can you be that much faster than everybody else?
Ask Brad Keselowski. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. I don't know. I mean, but I really think if you put Martin Truex Jr. in another car, he's going to go out there and do very, very well. I think the guy's a great driver. I mean, you even look at Kyle Larson. I mean, you look at him in a Chevrolet running in a small team with Ganassi. I mean, I think it's all about talent. I mean, the guy just puts the pedal to the metal, knows where to go on the track, and he makes these lines stick.
Right, and it's not just talent with the driver. I think he's got one of the best crew chiefs in the sport. Cole Pern is really elevated what that team's capable of doing, and it's not a fluke. It's week in and week out, they are the team to beat. You know, we've seen stretches like this, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, a lot of it with Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep saying this over and over again. It looks Jimmy Johnson-esque, where they just show up and they're just faster than everybody else. And that's because their pit crew's doing the things they need to do. Cole Pern's making the correct calls. Martin's driving the car, and they have fast race cars. It's just they're beating everybody else. And right now, if we were to do power rankings of crew chief and pit crews, you know, they're going to be near the top in almost every category, and that means for fast tracks, especially at mile and a half, where they are really good, and it showed again this week.
And that's what's coming up through the chase. I mean,
it's all mile and a half.
Right.
I mean, we got 5 mile and a halfs in the chase. I mean, it's
including the last one.
Which is pretty huge, which to me is why he's head and shoulders the favorite to win this thing. I don't even know that you can have a good second person right now. I think there's a group of people that if the one, you wouldn't be surprised, but I think we would be more shocked that Truex didn't win the championship right now than if Kyle Busch or Kyle Larson wins it.
So already locked into the next round of the chase, probably wouldn't even have to win in the next round. And with all the points he has, which is 58 playoff points that he got, he could probably make it through to the third round. But Martin Truex Jr., get your win. And here's what he had to say after the race.
It's a lot funnier to watch people get slimed than it is to get slimed. It's a lot slimier than I expected, but it's definitely worth it to get that after the race today. So thanks to Nickelodeon. But, definitely excited to be able to come to the first round of the playoffs again this year and cap it off with a win. So proud of my team. It was not an easy day by any means. You know, we had the speed and penalty, then the issues with the lug nuts on the pit stop. And I think we went from last to third in 80-some laps or so in stage two. So that felt pretty good. And then, you know, honestly, just kept tweaking our car all day long. It was not where we wanted it at the start of the race. And probably through, you know, the first 50 or 80 laps, we were off a little bit and just kept getting it better and better. And I thought by the last 100 laps of the race, it was really, really good. So just
Yeah, that's one of the things you think about. As far as he dropped back in the second stage, all the way back to the back, and was able to come up as Chicago at a mile and a half and get all the way to the front.
And I think you go back to what Scott was talking about. You look at the crew chief makes the right calls on what to adjust and coming in at the right times and making those adjustments and getting back up there. It's a heck of a job driving the wheels off the thing.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we were going to talk about where the point standings stand right now after the first playoff race at Chicago. And we'll also talk about some Casey Kane news. It's big news you want to hear. Stay tuned.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
16 drivers turn up the wick today in Chicago to begin their playoff journey.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is in the wall in two. Count comes up and scrapes the safer barrier.
Kyle Busch has been very, very good from the drop of the green flag.
Change for the lead. Kevin Harvick uses the outside lane to move in front of Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch, right rear tire is down. He said he may have gotten into the wall, but he couldn't quite tell.
Overcoming adversity for Martin Truex Jr., who will lead now with just 77 laps to go.
Playoff drivers that have had at least one mistake. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Martin Truex Jr., Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Jamie McMurray.
Trouble on turn number three. Eric Jones goes around. It looked like he may have had a tire go down.
He's on his way to victory lane for the fifth time in 2017, and he's on his way to...
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. All right, so we have break down?
Or yes. Throughout.
Chicago.
I'll be honest with you. I may have slept through a stage and a half of that race. I mean, it happens. I mean, there was football on. It's a mile and a half.
And to Jason's point before the show, when you have the Chicago Bears playing on the same day as you have the Chicago race.
And the Cubs and the leading Cubs, the Central.
And the Cubs, you're not going to the race up in Chicago.
I mean, it wasn't a bad crowd, but, I mean, it's a mile and a half. We just, there's two, I don't, listen, I'm not here to blast mile and a half tracks.
We do that every other week of the year.
Yeah.
Not the
but, I mean, it's you got five of them in the chase, and, yeah, they may be configured a little differently, but the racing is still the same. If you can get out in front and get clean air on your car, then you're going to go to the front. And, you know, if you got a fast race car and you get out front, then you check out, and you win the race by 5, 6, 7 seconds. It's a problem. There's too many of them. We were solving that solution pre-show. So, you know, it's hard to get caught up. I'll be honest, I'll be more interested in New Hampshire this week than I was Chicago last week, because we're going to see that mile and a half race over and over again throughout these playoffs. So you've seen one, you've seen them all.
And I think NASCAR has so many tracks on the circuit that are mile and a half. You're looking at people are soured on this stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it's great for the sport. Now, you know, Jimmy Johnson may disagree, because it probably won him a couple championships because of the amount of mile and a half that are at the end of the season. But it's it's an issue. And but on the flip side of that is, if you run well at them, I mean, you've got a great chance to win a championship. And nobody has run better at mile and a half the last 2 years than Martin Truex Jr.
And I think he's still leading at Charlotte from a couple years ago. So this segment brought to you by Esther Suggs Allstate. If you need a good insurance agent, make sure you give Esther Suggs a call. She's my agent. She is an agent you can trust. All right, time for the Monster Energy Series point standings, brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, some people drive by a house and think, man, I'd love to have that house, but I don't know who to call. And you see it's for sale. Call Stephanie. Stephanie will negotiate for you, help you sell your house if you want to sell it, and so that you can buy it. She can take care of both sides of your real estate transaction. Give Stephanie a call at her office, 473-9545, or her sales, 650-9549. Mr. Webb, Michigan Wolverine, triple option. Take it away.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy. Now it's time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series after the tails of the Turtle 400.
That was a good insinuation on that.
Was.
Tails.
No surprise at all. It's still atop your leaderboard, Martin Truex Jr., with a 27-point lead over Kyle Larson. Now, I will say this before I get into these. This is official at the end of the race. These do not reflect what's actually the point standings today, because I searched all over the interweb and couldn't find an updated list. So this is what we're going to go with, and then I'll show you. I'll kind of let you know what's happened. Kyle Larson, second. Kevin Harvick, third. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Kyle Busch, fifth. Chase Elliott is 6th, and that's where the change is going to come in. Denny Hamlin, 7th. Jimmy Johnson, 8th. Kenseth, 9th. Blaney, 10th. Jamie McMurray, Austin Dillon, Kurt Busch, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. We're going to do a lot of Casey Kane talk. He's in 15th. And rounding out the playoffs, Ryan Newman. Now, with the point deduction today, yesterday, actually, Chase Elliott actually falls into the 8th spot. So move Denny Hamlin to 6th, Jimmy Johnson to 7th, and Chase Elliott to 8th. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup playoff standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Crylock. Give her a call if you want to buy or sell your house. 473-9545 or her cell, 650-9429. All right, real quick. So, we knew Casey Kane was, going to be a free agent. It was, announced a little earlier this year that was going to happen. We didn't know what car he would go into. Now we find out he's going into the big bad ride of the 95, Levine Racing Chevrolet. I'm not really sure why he's doing that and why he just didn't go maybe do some dirt tracking.
Well, I mean, they're probably still going to pay him a lot of money. Are you willing to give up six, seven figures to do something that you're still pretty good at? And, they're excited to have him.
Argue with a pretty good.
I mean, it's still a ride, and then you can, maybe you signed a short-term deal there. You got, at some point though, he's got to prove that he can drive race cars again. I think, You know, he had such a great run at the beginning of his career, but if you look at his time at Hendrick, it's been a struggle, and where are the wins coming from? So you're going to have to, you know, you just can't stay at that level. There's too many good young drivers. If you're not performing, do you think he wasn't looking for a better opportunity? I mean, this was probably the best opportunity that he had. So he had to take advantage of it. You know, now if he can go out there and do some things in that car, he may be able to get another contract at one of these bigger organizations sometime in the future.
You know, the guys that are available, Jason, with Matt Kenseth and we know Eric Almirola, you know, it seems like he would be, other than Matt, one of the hottest commodities as far as to try to get. So it's amazing Stuart Haas or somebody like that didn't try to go make a play on him.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, the guy's been in chases multiple times, and he's found himself in the playoffs again this year. Yeah, you look at his time at Hendrick. I know you alluded to it earlier, Scott. You look at Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, and really, you know, they've been running four cars for a long time. But really, as the overall picture is really, there's only been two that have been performing mm-hmm. up to standards, with that being Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon while he was running, and then Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson. I don't really want to put Dale Earnhardt Jr. in there because he really
I think if you go back to the Letart era,
very competitive.
That was a different beast. You know, and it's hard to have, you know, what Gibbs is doing is remarkable because they're able to keep four competitive cars. Mm-hmm. You're talking about engineering, crew chiefs, crew members. You know, to have quality across the board, that's hard to do. And obviously at Hendrick, you know, we've seen Jimmy Johnson have success. And then kind of some ebb and flow in the rest. That means that maybe their organization has not done a better job of developing and continuing to field those positions where you need engineers, where you need crew chiefs, and starting to groom those people. Or, you know, or what's happened is people have come into Hendrick and robbed people and moved them up, and then those guys are having success everywhere. So it's hard to keep an organization intact for a long period of time.
But you look at that one constant there, and that's Chad Knaus has been with Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. not jumping crew chief to crew chief like he's done between some of those other teams.
So weird you said what you said, because I was just sitting here thinking about it and was going to mention that, you know, you've had the 24 and the 48 that have won championships. You have to go back all the way to Terry Labonte in the 5 car when he won a championship with Hendrick. But out of those three cars, nobody else has won a championship at Hendrick, either in the 5 or, you know, the 88. With the 11, I guess Waltrip won one, but Bonnet never did. So, I mean, it always seems like it's a couple of cars at Hendrick that have been really good, and then the other couple have kind of struggled some.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jason, I was just staring.
I wonder how – you sit here and throw out these what ifs. I wonder how good Kyle Busch would have been if he had been staying at Hendrick.
If they, you know, and you never know. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, it's – you know, Kyle had an opportunity and you know, and it didn't work out there, or he had a better opportunity at Gibbs, and now you've seen he's one of the best in the sport. So but you can't – I mean, it's just, you know, like anything. You could play the what-if game, you know, all you want, but you know, ultimately, you know, it's what actually happened, and that's what we base performance on.
In other Casey Kane news, we talked about he has lost his crew chief, Darian Grubb. I guess it just fired Keith Rodden and said, I'm going to take over. So Darian Grubb, former Tony Stewart crew chief, championship crew chief, I believe with Denny Hamlin as well, so has taken over for Casey Kane. That doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, he's going out and going to another ride. I don't know why you don't just leave the guy there and let him roll.
Well, because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to win a championship. You got a guy that is capable and shown that he can win races, and maybe there's just, you know, why not put as much time in? You know, it's hard to get these guys into the chase. I mean, only the top 16 get in. You want to take every opportunity you can to try to give yourself a chance to win races and move through, and maybe they felt as an organization, Darian Grubb gives them the best chance.
Still kind of a... It's just, I don't know. I don't know that I'd put all my eggs in that one basket just to get the 5 a championship. I mean, if he got a championship, Jason, would you think it would be deserved?
I mean, yeah. He would be the best among the 16 that got in.
I get that, but I'm talking about like the body of work that he's had. It's not like,
listen,
it would be one of those playoff championships
the 9-7
that we
Giants,
expected to happen.
We've seen, you know, the 8 seed in Villanova win a championship. It's not about, is it deserved or who the best? I mean, if it's the best race car driver for the year, I mean, you can start engraving Truex's name on it. He's been the most. He's blown away stage wins. He's got 5 wins now. They've led a ton of laps, won some poles. I mean, if it was based on that, you would just give him the trophy. But now he's got to perform in the playoffs. That's why getting in is the first step. And then Ryan Newman almost won a championship a couple years ago. Didn't win a race all year long. And he's a car length away from winning a championship. So, it's just about getting yourself in and giving yourself an opportunity. They got in. Now they got an opportunity. They're going to put all, they're going to throw whatever they can at it for as long as they can to see if they can get something to work.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we will have Mr. Grant Lynch, president of the USA, maybe, Talladega Super Speedway.
Is that news to him?
Maybe. He'll be on with us after the break. We'll be right back.
This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my left, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. We have a special guest on the phone that calls in all the time. And the first question I always have to ask Mr. Grant Lynch.
Here we go.
Is the last time he has been to Top of the River and what did he eat? I'm going to get down there and I'm going to go to Top of the River because my wife's family's from there. But I need to know what's good now.
Well, I hate to tell you, the catfish is outstanding. I love their catfish. I love a lot of the things they cook. But what I really like is what they have is they'll bring out slaw and white beans and turnip greens to you with cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
Before you get your seafood.
My mouth is watering.
Or your catfish.
Yeah, my mouth is watering.
It kills me. I mean, I eat so much of that, and I started just splitting a catfish plate with somebody else and just eating that, too. They're greens and they're slaw and everything, and the white beans are just really good.
Oh, man. It's all right. I'm thinking about that. Thanks for that biannual update.
That was an excellent visual. Now I'm going to have to go down there now.
Oh, man. So big things happen in Talladega Super Speedway, Grant. I know Friday, October 13th, 14th, and 15th. Listen, I almost think with this Twitter stuff we have going on that it might be a pretty good race down at Talladega this fall.
Well, I mean, I think it'll be good. I mean, when they get ready to race and race at Talladega, it's pretty darn impressive. And I've told the drivers in the drivers' meeting before, I realize Talladega's not probably any of your favorite tracks. None of y'all are going to say Talladega's my favorite track, but I'll tell you what you do. When you drive here like you can, I've never seen anywhere that takes your breath away like what y'all can do at this racetrack. So they can do that if they want to. Of course, it does happen that when we race that way, we tend to have wrecks that are pretty impressive as well, as far as the numbers of people that end up in them. But the place was built for that, and, with all the improvements in safety and God's help, we're doing well with that. So I'd love to see them go at it from the start, and I think the segment racing with the early segments has really helped us as much as anybody when they put that in early this spring.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I know in Alabama, in Talladega, Alabama, there is a bunch of, and that is Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the last time that they get to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. Come down to Talladega and race a Monster Cup car. What have you heard and what do you have planned? Do you have anything planned around his last visit to Talladega?
Yeah, I think everybody is trying to send him off with some special honors and stuff, and we're set up to do that. We're not going to put them out on my calls this week, but they'll start trickling out as we get closer to the race. We think both things, two big things that we're going to have done, are going to be meaningful to him, especially the one that we're going to do race week. And I think it's going to be something that I don't believe anybody else in the country could do for him. So we're hoping that'll touch his heart in a special way.
Yeah, we are talking with president of the Talladega Super Speedway, Grant Lynch. Grant, they moved the race this, you know, I actually loved it being where it was in the schedule in the past, but they moved the race on you. Any thoughts, or have you talked to them about possibly moving it back? I know the drivers don't like it being a cutoff race, but I thought it was absolutely the perfect spot for your racetrack. It's to be that cutoff spot in between one of the stages in the playoffs.
I probably am with you, but you know, we're part of a big company, and the sport is bigger than Talladega. And this is what I do know, and my daughter Ashley told me this when I was first talking to her about what they're considering doing. She said basically is, well, it doesn't matter if you're the knockout race at the end of one of the sections. You're always going to be the knockout race now the playoffs. So she's right.
She is right.
You know, if you ask any of those drivers now, which race do you fear the most? They're going to say Talladega, and, well, it doesn't matter if we're over there or over here. We got to be somewhere. So I know this. We deserve a plate race with the history of Daytona and Talladega. Mm-hmm. The sport should be in the playoffs. I'm glad we're in there. I would think it would be a crime for anybody from the other groups of people that make up the people we need to make the sport go to decide that Talladega shouldn't be in there. But you know, I'm part of a big company and part of a big sport. Life has ways of doing different things, but I believe we need to be in there, and I'll fight for that till they tell me we can't.
Exactly. And the one thing that they need to look at as well is what kind of show you put on outside of the race before, you know, the race starts on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I know you got the big one on the Boulevard. I've heard a lot of reviews. Everybody's liking it down there on Friday nights.
Yeah, it's a great way to kick off the week for our infield customers. And if you buy tickets to Talladega and for either race and you renew those tickets during the renewal period, and we give people a big window of time to renew their ticket, as long as you get your renewal in that time, you get a ticket to come in to the big one on the Boulevard. All the other fans that are coming, the best thing they get for their value, or one of the best things they get for the ticket purchase on Sunday, is they get to see Colt Ford on Saturday night at a concert. So anyone with a Sunday ticket gets to see Colt Ford Saturday night. Renewal customers and infield customers get to go to a big party Friday night too. So it's the most competitive racing. We hold most of the competition records. And I think with the exciting social atmosphere, your dollar value at Talladega probably can't be replaced anywhere else.
Absolutely, and you can't beat the camping too. Tell them about the camping, because we got a lot of people that like to come down and camp.
It's unlimited free camping. And when I say that, I don't mean we have 10 acres or 20 acres or 50 acres of free camping. We have hundreds of acres of free camping. No other racetrack that I'm aware of has free camping at all. You can bring your own soft-sided cooler into the racetrack with your own food and beverage in your cooler. No glass bottles, please. And, you know, we have a ticket as low as 2 days for $65. And that Sunday ticket with that package gets you into the concert on Saturday night as well. So I think if you look at the value we bring to race fans with all of those things piled up, we have youth pricing, military pricing, first responder pricing, collegiate pricing. All of those packages are available.
There's really not a better deal in the sport than Talladega.
There's not a better deal in any sport than Talladega.
And the park,
y'all name something that you can go 3 days for $65, and if you renew it on the same period of time the following year, you get Friday and Saturday night with those big parties. I mean, it can't be any a value better than that.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing that you guys do down there. And, we were talking about a little bit about Chicago and the attendance, and we were talking about the, you know, the Bears game going on. The Cubs were playing up there, and you put that on a Sunday. Whatever the ticket price there is, it can't beat what you got at Talladega and all the entertainment you get. I don't care if you're an Alabama or an Auburn fan. You can get all that in the infield with your friends down there before the race starts or after the race starts, and you can pay, you know, a very cheap price to be able to do that and then party later on that night. So it's absolutely fantastic.
We spend right at $730,000, I believe it is, maybe a little more, to put up those giant screens right in front of your seats. We got four of them down the front stretch. Ours aren't sitting over on the back stretch like other tracks. they're over on the front. It's like having a giant man cave, and you're at the race, and the TV's right in front of you. So that's another great value we pay every year for the race fans. So we're delivering for the fans, and we hope a lot of them will show up, come from your area down to see us and show up.
Oh, yeah. All right. So tell us how, tell them how they can get tickets.
Best way to see what we're talking about is go to TalladegaSuperspeedway.com and look at all the offerings and everything else, and then call us at 877-GO-TO-DIGGA, D-E-G-A, and come on down and get some white beans and turnip greens.
Yeah, there we go, baby. Hey, I ain't talking my lingo.
I tell you what, you know, I'm going to try to get down for the race, but if I don't, we come down Thanksgiving and Christmas to see her family, so I may call you up and we can go over to the top of the river and share some of that.
I'll take you over there. If you come down, stop off by the office and say hello. I'd love to see you.
Yeah, we'll do that. Grant Lynch, I really appreciate you coming on, and look forward to the race on the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thanks
Grant. You too, Grant.
That was Grant Lynch, president of Talladega Super Speedway. Does a fantastic job down there. Best ticket price in town.
You really can't.
Free parking.
Free parking.
I mean, they put on a great show down there.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they still got the barbecue sauce rest.
And it's... I mean,
that, Jason? Explain.
It was something they came up with a couple of years ago.
If you want an experience, I've never been there. It's one of those bucket list things. I guess you just got to go experience the weekend, don't you?
I've seen people the day after that been in the infield before. So, I mean,
well, they have
it's rough.
They even make those temporary jails down there, right? In the camping area or whatever, where if you don't act right, they'll put you in there. So. It's always fun, always great to have Grant on.
The heck of a show down there, too.
So, all right, when we come back, it's power ranking time. We'll also kind of preview just a little bit of the race this weekend at New Hampshire, give you the top 10 driver average finishes, and then we'll have our picks to win. We'll be right. Let me say that again. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be back faster than a buzz off a can of Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Babylon Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Just got done talking to Grant Lynch, Talladega.
Good guy to talk to. He always is.
He always, very friendly.
Very nice guy. I'm going to have him take me over to top of the river on his credit card.
If you go down.
That would be good. Well, you don't have to pay much over there. Just let me eat the stuff in front.
It made me hungry just talking about all that. I can go for some turnip greens right now.
Oh, yeah. Some turnip greens. All right, so we got a race coming up at New Hampshire. Loudon's what it's been called before. It's going to be the ISM Connect 300. The green flag will drop on NBCSN. Or you can listen in to PRN here on 101.3 at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Stages this week are 75, 150, and then 300. So it looks like, guys, when you think about this track, they put down this grip last time. It used to be kind of a one-lane deal, and it's kind of opened it up a little bit.
I thought the spring race, which a note to everybody, they're only getting one race next year. I thought the spring race was a good race. They put that VHT or what, I don't even know what it's called. It has a company's bought it, so it's not that anymore. But they put that substance down. It's sticky. As long as it was on the track, it opened up an additional lane, which I thought created some good racing. Once it wears off, though, then you've got to have your car be able to run in the traditional spots. We'll see how much of that compound they put down. I think they did it both Friday night and Saturday night this spring. So it had quite a bit of the compound on there, so it didn't get all wore off during the race. So if that's on there, the racing can be pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting in the spring. But you're going to have a car that can work that lane and move forward. We'll see if anybody can beat the 78 car.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing.
I mean, that's really the only question I have right now is somebody going to be able to beat him? They were strong there in the spring. That is, it didn't work out for him. And that's an important track for Truex. He's a New Englander. He's got family that, his dad raced at that track. It's a very important track to the Truex family.
Yeah, and they asked him some of the memories that he had at New Hampshire when he was younger, and here's what he said.
Definitely magical. It was called the Magic Mile back in the day when I started going there when I was a kid. And I guess the first race I ever went to was, I think it was a 93. And, you know, my dad was racing, obviously, there. And they used to have what they called a combination race, which my dad ran Busch North back then. But they had one or two races throughout the year where they ran in combination with the Busch Series. So it was a big deal for him to get to run those races. And just remember going there and looking through the fence and seeing all the big names and the superstars of NASCAR, thinking, you know, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, to be at the track around this stuff. And so a lot of memories from growing up going there, and then starting to race there myself and winning my first Busch North race of my career at the racetrack. And, you know, then watched my brother win, and still after that first cup win, but we've been getting awfully close here. So hopefully this year we'll close it out in the playoffs.
I don't think he'll have a problem.
He's got to be the favorite at any track.
I was just sitting here thinking, who would I, you know, we'll go over the, you know, some average finish drivers here in a minute, you know, and he's on the list. He's seventh on the list. But is there any name out there right now you think, well, you know, maybe that may be the car to beat? I mean, it's just, you just can't, they've been that dominant. And it's not just, it's at all types of tracks now, which is, if I'm a competitor, I've got to be a little scared, because it's the guy's capable of winning anywhere now, mm-hmm. and that's what it takes to win a championship.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, well, when does Jimmy Johnson start making his move, if he is going to make his move?
Dover.
You think so?
Or is he capable of making
that move? That was my second.
I mean, he's been really bad since when, I want to say June? Is that when accumulated those wins, those three wins around June or so? Yeah. Really? I mean, not terrible, not Earnhardt Jr. bad, but I mean, he's not, but he hadn't been good either.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you would just wonder, because they always seem to have that streak where they win a bunch in the summer and then they'll kind of die off, but they're getting ready
for it. And then when the playoffs start, they kick it in, they start getting these mile and a halves. But he's having trouble on the mile and a halves and tracks where he's traditionally been pretty good. I mean, they just don't have the speed in that car right now. So, you know, it's, you know, I thought too, I mean, it's Jimmy Johnson time. It's go time. You know, last year we saw a similar approach, and then they won, they won early in this round and started that momentum and got themselves in position to win a championship. I didn't see that car screaming to the front, on Sunday. It's going to be interesting. This is a track that he's had success at in the past. Can they transition that and start to move forward? At some point, okay is okay in this round. You can be an okay car in advance, but at some point you're going to have to start elevating your game. We need to start seeing that team move forward.
Absolutely. All right, so he is actually third amongst the active drivers as far as the best finish with a 10.5. Brad Keselowski second. Denny Hamlin, a name you wouldn't expect. And it's not one that's like, you know, Chase or somebody like that that's only raced it a couple of times. This guy's been there a bunch, and he's best average finish of straight up 10th place. Kind of surprising to see Denny there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Denny and you sit and think about him as far as, you know, Martinsville, you know, really good. You also look at Loudon. I mean, he's really good there. I mean, the guy's a good driver. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's done in the past.
Kind of like all the tracks that are almost like short tracks that mm-hmm. they run. And I want to say paperclip, like Martinsville, where they're really tight corners and long straightaways.
I don't think of Hamlin as a big super speedway guy, although he's won before.
Won the Daytona 500.
Yeah, he won at Talladega. You know, I don't see him as a mile and a half, but some of these oddball ones, yeah, I think Hamlin runs well there.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our power rankings, brought to you by Whitfield Media Company. Thank you, Sean Whitfield, for sponsoring our power rankings each and every week. I'll go ahead and get us started with the 18 of Kyle Busch, my guy sitting right here in front of me, 78 of Martin Truex Jr., the 42 of Kyle Larson. Yes, I brought him back in, so it's time to make the move. The 48 of Jimmy Johnson, he's in fourth.
And out of curiosity, I mean, did you watch the race on Sunday, right? I mean, they were like a slightly above average car. They were like a middle of the pack ride. And you vault him into your top four.
Right. You remember earlier this summer when I vaulted him into my top five.
It did spark a run.
Trying to get a Johnson run going here.
Trying to get a Johnson run. I appreciate that.
And then the two car, Brad Keselowski. Just got to love his comments on Twitter. Were great. So that is my power rankings, Mr. Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going to go with the same exact power rankings I had last week because, not a whole lot changed. I do like Truex Jr. in the first position. Kyle Larson second, Kyle Busch third. If Bush don't have those mistakes out there, I mean, who knows? He could be up there second, but, I mean, it really wasn't a great showing for him. Denny Hamlin, fourth, and Kevin Harvick, fifth.
Wow, your power rankings look pretty similar to...
Well, I mean, it's because great minds think alike. Yes. You know,
so do yours.
Yeah, my power rankings are exactly the same. You know, Truex has obviously been the best. I was a little disappointed. I thought Larson would run better at Chicago than he did this year. He's just, you know, he was a top 10 car, but that was kind of really all they could squeeze out of that ride.
Do you think Larson has fell off some?
Well, I mean, he just won Richmond.
Well, I mean, he won Richmond, but granted, he won Richmond Michigan.
Yeah, everybody
really
else
plays when they.
Yeah, but I mean, he put himself in position and he won on restart.
Restart's over, Truex.
Yeah, I guess then my question: do you see him continuing to be as good as he was consistency wise in the regular season, or?
Well, he doesn't drive a Toyota, so that's going to make it difficult.
Makes your answer no.
Yeah, it makes it a little more difficult. But, you know, they've got some tracks that they're going to be better at coming up, especially, you know, there's no, you know, some of these oddball tracks, I actually kind of like him. The mile and a half, so they're going to have to, you know, he's a traditional rim rider, likes to run around the top of the track, and usually that's, it can be an issue. Charlotte, though, there's some tracks you can start to see a second groove come in there. You know, I think he's really kind of a year or two away from winning a championship. He's got to get better at all phases, at all tracks, and finding a way to win it. But, you know, I think he's just as good as anybody else. That's why I've got him second in my power ranking. You know, and Kyle Busch, I think Busch is probably the best driver in the sport. But sometimes they get in their own way, so that's why he's in my third position. You know, can they find a way to eliminate those mistakes? If they eliminate those mistakes, he's just as good as a 78 car. And he may not have quite the car, but he's probably a better driver than Truex. So I think that combination is great. But they're going to have to find a way to eliminate those mistakes. They'll advance in this round. Will that come and bite them somewhere down the line? I like Hamlin. I like what you said about Hamlin. Just been rock solid the last 8 to 10 weeks. And I like Harvick. I thought Harvick had a good run. You know, they need to build a little momentum. Those Fords need to get things going. And this is the time of year where we usually see Kevin Harvick do his best. So I like my power rankings. Just a lot. I like Jason's power rankings even better.
Yours,
yeah. Right. Yeah, thanks.
I'm not going to say anything. All right, so storylines coming out of New Hampshire. Do you think we see any repercussions from any of this Twitter stuff that happened this past week?
I don't think so. I mean, you're not going to pull a Kenseth Logano stuff. I mean, that's on track.
Did you see Steve O'Donnell? He tweeted out, you know what, two drivers were riding around in trucks before the race at Chicagoland? Busch and Keselowski. They were in the same vehicle.
And so. I was telling Jason they were first and fifth in the lineup, so it should have been first and second.
I don't know how that worked, but that's just awesome.
I think they planted that. So
those two don't like you care for each other too much.
No,
anyway.
And they both like to talk. Yeah. So
and hear themselves
they talk. Do like to hear themselves talk, so I don't have any problem with it at all. I think it just brings more intrigue.
Got some really good cars, if you think about it, that are not in the chase that run well at Loudon from time to time, especially that 22 car. So wouldn't be a good time for some of these guys if a non-chaser gets a win. That might be my storyline coming out of New Hampshire. Since
it would be awful early for a non-chaser to win. You know, usually it's much later in the
Talladega.
It's well into the playoffs before we see a non-chaser. But you know, this could be a case where, you know, you've got Logano. He's had some good runs there. You know, we'll see what happens.
Well, my pick to win, Mr. Joey Logano, number 22. So I think it's going to happen this week. He runs well there all the time. Held up that lobster. He's from that area of the country, too. Has a lot of fans and family there. So he's always done good. Not cheating, but he's done good. So, Jason Hildebrand, your pick to win on Sunday.
I'm going to go with the four of Kevin Harvick to win at Loudon this weekend.
That's not what's on your sheet.
No, that was last week.
That was last week. You know, he was busy today. He couldn't get him to me. Mine is correct because I've picked this guy 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
You're riding
I'm riding it until he gets into victory lane, and I'm going to take the 20 car of Matt Kenseth.
I like the pick. I really do. I mean, I think that Matt Kenseth is really due for a victory, especially since he doesn't have one. He's due. I mean,
he's overdue. So I'm going to go with the 20 car this week.
Definitely overdue for a win. All right, ISM Connect 300, Sunday, September 24th, this Sunday on NBCSN. P. PRN green flag will drop at 2:15 on 101.3 The Buzz. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll talk about the results from that race, plus preview the next race. Thanks for joining us today. Talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.